Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's second quarter 2018 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during the call, please press *0 to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company, based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and the U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to all for being in this conference call for the results of the second quarter of 2018. We will start, as usual, with a financial review of the company. Then we will go deeper into each business segment. And we will finalize with the material facts and news and a round of Q&A. We start in page number 4 with an overview of the main figures of the quarter. We can see that our revenues were up $95 million to almost $1.6 billion for the quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA was 18% higher than last quarter, up to $546 million, which is on all-time record for the company. In terms of accumulated for the two quarters of this year, we reached $1 billion, and we had a margin of 35% over sales in the last quarter, in quarter two of 2018. Regarding net income was $238 million, 20% more than the first quarter of 2018. And in terms of leverage, we went to 2.1 times and net debt of $3.6 billion. That is a reduction of $165 million of net debt compared to the first quarter of 2018. In page 5, as I already told, revenues were $95 million higher than last quarter, and the main explanation for this increase is based on the pulp business segment, which has an increment of $91 million based basically on an increase in volume and a slightly increase in average prices for this quarter. In wood products, we had revenues up only $1.2 million above last quarter, and its main explanation is higher sales volume in panels and plywood. In terms of cost of sales, we only had an increase of 1.6%, that is $15 million, and the main reasons here are based on a higher volume that increased forestry cost, and also some increase in the cost of roads added to a higher average distances of forest harvested. We had a little bit of increase in chemical cost based again on higher volume and some increase in unitary consumption. And in terms of pulp unitary costs quarter over quarter, we had a slight increase of 1.4% on softwood. Almost a stable cost in hardwood, only 0.3% higher, and a reduction of 6.6% in the unitary cost of unbleached softwood, based basically on lower maintenance costs, because the first quarter we had more maintenance stoppages in the mills that produce unbleached pulp. Sorry. Page 6, in terms of administrative expenses, we had a very slight reduction of 0.4%, and that is explained by a decrease in wage, salaries, and severance indemnities, because in the first quarter we had a an increase because of a change in calculation of compensations of years of service. And also we had an effect of the depreciation of the Chilean peso that affects the Chilean salaries. That decrease is compensated by some increases in other accounts, and the biggest one of those is an increase in computer services due to some payments of software licenses that were done in the second quarter of this year. In terms of distribution cost, also we had a very low increase of 2.2%, that is $3 million. And the main explanation here is an increase in freight cost of 5.2%, again due to sales, higher sales volume, and some increase in delivery cost in the U.S. due to the shortage of certified truck drivers in that market. Now if we go to page 7, other income. Decreased by 21%, that is $8 million. And the main explanation of this decrease is a decrease in the gain from changes in fair value of biological assets that decreased $7.3 million compared to the first quarter. And also a decrease in gain on sales of assets of $3 million because we had some sales of assets in the first quarter that were not repeated in this quarter. In terms of other expenses, they remain stable at $17 million. We had a reduction of impairment provision that was done in the first quarter, and that was compensated by increasing project expenses due to the grading project. Now on page 8, looking at the summary of the net income, we already talked about the first lines of this net income. But regarding the financial income, it decreased 40% from 4.8 to 2.6 million. Financial costs were stable during this quarter. We had an increase in participation and profit of associates and joint venture from 6 million to $18 million, basically because of a higher net income in Sonae Arauco, in a joint venture in Europe, due to some accounting of indemnifications by the insurance policy in Europe. We had a negative exchange rate differences of $17 million compared to a gain of $1 million in the first quarter. The main explanation here is depreciation of the Chilean peso that affected exchange rate in Chile about $11 million, and the rest is some depreciation in Argentina of about $3 million because of the depreciation of the Argentine peso. We had a higher income tax that is explained by a higher pre-tax income for the quarter. Okay, if we go now to page 9 and look at the evolution of EBITDA, we can see there that we had a very good EBITDA of $546 million for the quarter. That is a 35% EBITDA margin. From that amount, pulp was $408 million, wood $100 million, forest $54, and then we had the usual corporate and adjustment of minus $17 million. This is an 18% increase, and if we compare to 1 year ago, it's a 62% increase in EBITDA. You can see there in the graph that the increase from the first quarter to second quarter is explained basically by pulp, a $65 million increase, and a $9 million increase in the wood division. In pulp, the EBITDA margin reached almost 50%, which is a very good number compared to the last years, and wood division EBITDA increased 10% compared to the last quarter due to higher sales volume in panels and plywood and higher prices in some timber. Now, if we go to page 11, we can talk a little bit more about the pulp business segment. You can see there in the graph the evolution of the index of NBSK and BHKP up to June, and you can see the evolution of prices that we have been experiencing the last almost year and a half now, from the lows of the start of 17 to the stable prices that we are seeing through the 2018. In terms of index prices, as of June, the spread between long fiber and short fiber was $150. In terms of demand for bleach chemical pots, you can see in the table there that comparing this first half of 18 to the same period of 17, we have a 1.7% increase in demand, almost 24.6 million tons of demand. And the explanation here in the increase is basically a 4% increase in China, a 3.5% in Europe, and a reduction of 4.4% in the demand in North America. Page 12, we can see here the evolution of EBITDA for the pulp division. You can see there a 19% increase from one quarter to the other. It's basically explained by an increase in sales of 12.4%. That, again, is explained by a 9% increase in volume and 2.5% in increase in price. If we look a year ago, we almost doubled the EBITDA from $205 to $408 million. And in that sense, the main explanation is an increase in price of almost 32%. About a year ago, prices for that quarter were about $620 on average, and now we are a little bit more than $810 per ton in the last quarter. That's a 40% increase in sales for 1 year. In terms of demand, we saw that during the second quarter, the demand remained active with some seasonality effects in the summer, but when demand, the pulp is lower. In terms of prices, in the Asian markets, prices remained steady for the three types of fiber sold in Asia, that is softwood, hardwood, and bleached softwood in our case. In Europe, paper producers experienced good demand and were able to implement price increases. But, however, margins have been reduced and some of them are experiencing some financial difficulties because margins are much lower than they used to be. In terms of production, our volume increased about 50,000 tons more from one quarter to the other, and the main explanation was that we had in this quarter we had only one mill, that is Arauco Line 1, with a maintenance stoppage program. In terms of sales, our sales went up 80,000 tons compared to the first quarter of 2018. We'll go to page 13. We can see there the graph of production and sales, and as I told you, you can see in the maintenance stoppage schedule that we had three mills doing maintenance in the first quarter, that is Licancel, Constitución, and Valdivia. And in the second quarter, we only had line one of Arauco that has 290,000 tons doing a 13-day annual stoppage for this quarter. That is the main explanation of higher volumes of production and also sales. In terms of inventory levels, we can see there that the numbers for BSKP and BHKP remain more stable in about 30 days for BHKP and about 45 days for BHKP. Page 14, now looking at the outlook for the market, we can see there in the graph the evolution of prices, and we can see there in that the second quarter of 2018, prices for both long fiber and short fiber remain stable. This is our net prices for China. You can see there that softwood was at $890 per ton, and hardwood was about $790 per ton during the quarter. Now, starting the summer month of July and August, we saw a reduction of $30 per ton for softwood, in our case in China, and hardwood remained stable at $790. We already announced a price increase of $20 for September, and that brings our softwood price back almost to the price that it was before, to $880 per ton. In terms of program maintenance for the third quarter, we have our Alkaline 1 in October for 10 days. Montes del Plata will have its maintenance for 10 days in November, and also the Valdivia mill that has 550,000 tons of production will go to maintenance for 13 days also in November. Okay, going now to page 15, now talking about the wood pulp business, we can see there that EBITDA for second quarter went up 10% from $92 million to $101 million and 6.3% compared to 1 year ago. In terms of panels, we saw a price reduction of 2.1% and volume increase of 2.1%. And compared to last year, there's a volume increase of 11% and 4.6% decrease in price. In some timber, it's the other way around. We have a higher prices of 3.1% and a reduction in volume of 2.5%. And compared to a year ago, price is up more than 9% for this quarter. In terms of markets, we saw that composite panels were more stable, a little bit of increase in volume and a decrease in average prices. And MDF and PEO had higher sales volume, especially in our major market, which is North America. Mexico confirms its positive level of activity in furniture and construction, with local consumption rising. And now in some timber, demand rose during the quarter, but there was some lower demand from China towards the end of the quarter due to the uncertainties that we have been experiencing because of the trade war between U.S. and China. In terms of remanufactured wood products, the U.S. market showed a recovery towards the end of the quarter because of seasonality. Plywood production and sales continues to be good, especially in the U.S., and volumes and sales have increased. Page 16, we can see in this graph of production and sales that we have increased in sales and production in this quarter compared to the first quarter, and also compared to 1 year ago in all three types of products: panels, some timber, and plywood. Page 17, now looking at the outlook for wood product business, we can see here the graph of housing starts, and now we are at about 1.2 million units per year. It's been very stable, slowly going up from the lows of 2009, but now being more stabilized at 1.2 million houses per year. And that reflects some stability in our main market, which is North America, that concentrates 47% of our sales. We have solid in MDF and particle boards, and no big changes also in MDF molding. The trend of remanufactured products continues to improve a little bit in volume and prices because of seasonality and some logistical problems of some competitors from us from Brazil. And plywood continues with the good news with good and active demand. More local supply, but we remain optimistic in this segment of our business. Next page, page 18, now going to the other markets of wood products. Central and South America, which represents 35% of our sales. And the outlook here is that we had good sales during the quarter in Brazil, but we have some concerns about what could happen in the rest of the year, basically because of the depreciation of the Brazilian real, some logistic problems, and some more supply that will start coming to the market in the second part of the year. We are trying to increase our exports based on the more depreciated real and some more supply coming to the market. Also in Argentina, sales could be affected by some economic uncertainty. Margins have suffered from the depreciation of the Argentine peso when translated to U.S. dollar. And we're also trying to export more from that market. As usual, Chile had a good first semester, and price increases and improvement in mix are reflected in the results. Some sales were affected by some slight devaluation of Chilean peso, but this market continues to be good and together with the growing of the economy. Now in some more marginal markets like Asia and Oceania, that represent 14%, or Europe and Middle East, we had price increases in Asia, especially in Japan and Korea. And again, the concern is China because of the depreciation of the renminbi and the effects that the trade war could have on the demand for some timber in Asia. In Europe, demand for plywood, still some uncertainties because of summer holidays, but consumption remains high. Some competition from material suppliers, but we'll expect the prices to stay steady. And we are having good demand from the Middle East because of some increases in from the petrochemical industry. But this market represents very low percentage of our of sales. Page 19, now looking at the free cash flow. We can see here that we had a free cash flow of $62 million compared with a negative free cash flow of almost $100 million for the first quarter. The main explanation here is a higher EBITDA, a more neutral effect of the working capital that was quite negative on the first quarter, and that is compensated by an increase of $20 million more or less in capex, and also the payment of dividends that was done in May of $114 million. So after that, we were able to reduce our net debt in about $165 million from $3.8 billion to $3.65 billion, and that helps us obtain a very low leverage. The main effect, apart from the free cash flow of $62 million, is an exchange rate effect on the debt that is not denominated in US dollars. Page 20, you can see there the evolution of our net debt that is constantly going down. Now we have a leverage of 2.1 times, that is net debt divided by last 12-month EBITDA. The effect, main effect here is, of course, a reduction in net debt, but also that is an increase of 14% in last 12 months adjusted EBITDA. That was $1.5 billion 3 months ago, and now it's $1.7 billion as of June 2018. One of the explanation, of course, of the reduction in net debt is an increase in cash and equivalents that increased 16%, basically because of a good free cash flow during the quarter. Our gross debt is $4.2 billion and cash and cash equivalent of $572 million. Page 21. Our amortization schedule for the rest for the coming years, and we can see there that for the rest of 2019 we have $400 million to pay, which includes basically $133 million of loans that are paid by Montes del Plata, $200 million of a trade loan that matures at the end of September from Cerveza Arauco in Chile, and then some minor guaranteed leasings of 19 million and some small debt from our Brazilian subsidiaries. In terms of bond obligation, we have only $10 million of amortization of local bonds and about $40 million of interest of local and US bonds. The rest of the amortization is more or less stable, about $380 million for the next 4 years, and only the big amortizations comes 2024, where we have a bond of $540 million maturing. Now to go to the material facts and news. First of all, page 23, in July we announced the approval of the MAPA project by the board of directors. Finally, we were able to approve it in the board. This investment is, as announced, $2.35 billion investment. Approximately, and consists mainly of the construction of a new line of pulp of 1.56 million tons of short fiber, that is, will be line 3 in the Arauco complex. And after the start of line 3, we will stop line 1, which is a line of 290,000 tons of short fiber that was constructed in 1972. The net effect of the for the Arauco mill will be an increase of 1.27 million tons of new short fiber capacity. The project, of course, is going to be self-sufficient in energy consumption, and we will add a surplus capacity of about 132 megawatts of renewable energy. We are expecting to that the mill will start with operations during the second quarter of 2021, The first movement of land we will start probably at the end of this year, and negotiations with the equipment suppliers will happen probably during September. Page 24, construction still advancing in the grading project in Michigan. At this moment, we are about 80% completion. As we have already told in the past, the investment is approximately $400 million. And the capacity of this particle board mill will be 800,000 cubic meters. The first panel will come out from the mill at the later part of this year, 2018. You can see photograph there of the mill almost ready to start production at the end of this year. Page 25, an update of the dissolving pulp project. The advance now is 31% of completion. This investment is about $885 million, and we expect to have the ability to produce dissolving pulp of this mill at the later part of 2019. Of course, this pulp mill will have the ability to produce both types of pulp, that is dissolving pulp or paper-grade pulp, depending on the prices that we see at the end of next year. You can see a photograph there of one of the two digesters that arrived to the mill in August 13. That is one of the main equipments that will be added to the existing digesters in order to produce dissolving pulp. Page 26, finally, the last news here was a small acquisition that we did in the United States. In July, we announced the acquisition of a small company called Panolam that is located in Albany, in Oregon. We spent $13.3 million and plus $3 million more for the working capital for that mill. And this is basically an operation of two thermally fused lamination lines with an annual capacity of 212,000 cubic meters, as well as two impregnation lines and a warehouse capacity. These assets are very well located, 10 kilometers from our Dura Flake mill and 37 kilometers from our Eugene mill. Okay, that's what I had for this presentation. And now I would like to open the floor for any Q&A that you could have.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And today's first question comes from Ned Hull of Putnam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the question. Quick question on MAPA. How do you guys plan on financing that project?
Yes, okay, thanks. Thanks for the question. Yes, from the $2.3 billion investment, we think that we could finance with free cash flow during the 3 year of construction, probably about $600-700 million, depending on the prices that we see during this period. So we are looking probably at about $1.7 billion of debt that we will need to obtain. We think, and we are now in negotiations, we started the process with the ECAs to obtain about, for the value of the equipment, that should be more or less between $900 million, more or less. So that will be financed with an ECA, which is a long-term loan of an average life of about 8.5 years plus the 3 years of construction. And the rest, we think, will be a mix of bank debt, or probably some bond issues that we are probably looking into. So that is more or less the plan. We have time. We have a good cash position, and we're generating good cash from our EBITDA. So during the next probably 6 months, we will be defining the rest of the finance, which is not the ECA, which we already started the process. We already mandated the banks for the ECA, and we are in the process of negotiating with the ECAs that are basically from the Nordic countries, from Finland and Sweden.
Got it. And in terms of CapEx, how should it fall? Is it going to be mostly in 19 and 20?
Yes, the cash flow from 18 will be very low. It's basically the first payment to equipment suppliers, which is normally less than 10%. And then we have about 30% comes in year 19, and then probably 50% in year 20, and the rest is paid as the mill starts up in year 21. So the bulk of the capex will be done in 2020.
Okay, got it. And then it's helpful. On the dividend front, is that part of your? What, can you talk? Remind us of your dividend policy. And I think there's a Chilean corporate requirement to pay out a certain amount. And it's just kind of interesting if you're paying a decent sized dividend right ahead of this project. So if you could just touch on that, please.
Yeah, our dividend policy has been for many years to pay 40% of net income. That is the same percentage that Empresas Copec pays to its shareholders. The minimum payment for open publicly traded companies as Empresas Copec is 30%. So they pay 40% and we pay the same 40% and of net income. So
okay.
We expect to keep that for the coming years.
Despite the project?
Yeah, I think we can handle the leverage. I mean, because of the good price environment that we expect for the next years, because of lack of supply, we think that we will be able to finance the project with debt without any stress to our leverage numbers. I mean, but if anything happens, that could be top with Empresas Copec, but anyway, they cannot reduce less than 30% in Empresas Copec.
Okay. That's helpful. Yeah. Thanks for the time and good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I'd like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for attending this call. Again, if you have any following questions, please don't hesitate to call us or send us an email to our IR department, and we will meet again in November for the results for the third quarter of the year. Thanks, Sam, and bye.
Thank you, sir. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a nice day.